Good morning and welcome to the International Mastermind Blog Talk International Internet Show. We are on every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, and this is Sharon Jackson. I'm your host this morning. I'm a member of the Palm Beach Life Planners. We also have with us Jada Williams, is our co-host. Good morning, Jada. How are you today?
Good morning.
Okay, very good. Last week, as you remember, we had V. Lynn Whitfield on with us. She's the author of the book, It's Not Over Until God Says So. Lynn talked to us about her journey about overcoming every situation from when she was a child to a young adult to the most recent, one of her more recent and very significant events concerning our health. She talked to us about the persistence that it took to be able to overcome every level of her situation. Well, this morning we're going to continue on the journey to discuss persistence, the sustained effort necessary to induce faith, which is also, according to Chapter 8 in Think and Grow Rich, the eighth step to riches. Napoleon Hill refers to persistence. It says there may be no heroic connotation to the word persistence. Quality is to a person's character is what carbon is to steel. What carbon is to steel, carbon makes steel hard. Carbon makes steel unbreakable. Carbon makes steel so that it can hold gigantic buildings against earthquakes, against major storms, against the wind. So that's what persistence is to us. Now, what we're going to direct to Lynn this morning is that the second part of this conversation in terms of persistence regards to, right to,
pay attention to detail,
16 different efforts as to how to develop persistence. I think the advertisement says that we're rethinking towards the original version of Stored and Revised. On page 170, start talking about 16 symptoms of lack of persistence. End of it, it talks about fear of criticism. From 1 to 15, it's easy. I'm not going to say it's easy. It requires persistence to go from failure to recognize and to clearly define exactly what we want. We can do that on our own. We can do that on our own. We can overcome procrastination. We can go overcome indecision and the habit of relying upon alibi. But the last symptom and the lack of persistence is fear of criticism. This leads us to create plans and put them into action because of what other people will think, what other people will do, what other people will say. Now, Lynn, let's talk about fear of criticism. As I've known you over the years, you're like the 10th woman, all right? You're not the average person. You have pulled away several times in terms of being not common. Talk to us about how you overcame the fear of criticism.
Well, Sharon, thank you for having me back again today. I think the fear of criticism is something that it depends on what stage you are in your life as to how you will deal with it and who it's coming from. Because I remember when I was in college and I took a class and it talked about the look of others. And it talked about how people won't even raise their hand sometime in a class because they're afraid of how other people are going to look at them. And I know that that was true for me when I was growing up, that there were things that I didn't do because I had that fear of people, what they would say. I remember when I was 18 and getting ready to go away to college, and my aunt's minister, when he asked me what I was going to study, and I told him psychology, he said, girl, you better learn and be like everybody else and go to school and be a teacher. Black people need to know they can't do all that other stuff. And I looked at him, and I was, first of all, it was such disbelief that a minister was actually saying that to me, and I did cause me to wonder, well, am I really on the right track? Fortunately, because it was coming from someone I didn't have a really strong relationship with, it was easier for me to just say, well, I'll show him. And I think that's kind of what you have to do when you face that criticism. First of all, fear is something you just have to get over, and you have to develop a I'll show them attitude and let that fear motivate you to go on to reach your goal.
Very good. I see that Jada, did you – now, the reason why it's so important, Lynn, is from what you're talking about, is Jada's a young woman just starting out on her career, and she's also that 10th person. So, Jada, I think that I see that your hand and you wanted to have something to say. Do you want to come in at this point?
Yes. Lynn, you know, once you owned that you are not common and accepted the Lynn Whitfield, which is powerful and very inspiring, the Lynn Whitfield that you are and continuously building up, how did you deal with prior relationships, you know, from your friends, your ex, maybe your coworkers, team members in different organizations, or even your family? How did you deal with that?
That's a good question, Jada, and I really do talk about that in Chapter 13 of my book, The Party's Not Over Until God Says So, and the title of that chapter is When You're Going Through a Storm, Who Has Your Ear? Because I think that's very important. So when you're about to really step out there and do something that's out of the ordinary, that you really have to take an inventory. Who's in your circle? Who is going to support you and who is not? And then you have to be careful who you tell what to, because not everybody is going to be able to accept what you're telling them. And I think that goes a lot to why do people criticize us anyway for being different, for trying to be reach our goals, for doing extraordinary things is what I call them. And I really think that the reason they do it is, one, they don't want to be left behind. They see you going somewhere, they know that they can't go right now. Maybe they don't have the same education. Maybe they just don't even have the same motivation to do something different. But I think as those who are actually striking out, we have to understand that not everybody has been given our vision. So not everybody can celebrate with us where we're going. So when you take that inventory, you have to understand that there might be some people that you're going to have to leave behind, that they're not going to be able to go with you. And I'm not talking about just cutting them out your life completely, because I believe everybody is in your life for a reason or a season. And some people, the relationship is just going to end naturally because of your lack of time to be around them, or because they just feel bad because they can't understand why you're doing what you're doing. But you have to understand to compartmentalize sometimes your friends. You know, we have friends that are there for us when we cry. We have friends that are there to celebrate us. And sometimes we just have friends that when we want to have a real good time, we know we can have a really good time with them. But I think that's what you have to do, is take an inventory and look and see, because you need to have a tribe around you that's going to encourage you. You need people who are going to say, go for it. You can do it. I know you got it in you to do it. And sometimes it's a very hard thing to do when they've been your friends, or especially relatives. You know, when it's a relative, you know, because they're going to start telling you about you think you better than us now. Because, and it's no, and when you try to explain it to them, it doesn't matter what you say, because they're going to have that attitude. So sometimes you just have to say, okay, I'm going to love them from afar. Because you have to make a determination in your mind that it doesn't matter what anybody else says to you. If you know that this is what you're supposed to do, that you're going to go ahead and do it. I hope that answers your question, Jada.
Yes, it does, and it's very encouraging because that your remarks can go towards the high schoolers, the ones that's transitioning over into college, young adults in their 20s, people like myself in their 30s that's going through that mid-adult stages, and older age groups as well. So I really appreciate your comments. And like you said, from your book and Think and Grow Rich, you know, the author says that you have to be conscious of your mastermind group and the people that
right.
you put around you. So thank you for going into detail more on that, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and let me just add this point. I think it's much harder when you're younger, when you're 18, because we all want to be light, and so it's much harder to think that you may be isolating some people that are not in your, you know, will no longer be in your life that you've known all your life. Maybe you've gone to school with them for years, your friends, or like I said, it could be your relatives. I think that it's much harder to disregard the criticism that they're giving you. But I think if you really want to reach your goal, that's what you're going to have to do. And you may have to dig really deep down. And, you know, I think that's where your faith in God and the belief that this is the path that he has you on really come into play as a young person.
Yes, yes. I totally agree.
Okay.
You've taken me into the next set of things that I'd like to talk about, and that's how to develop persistence and a friendly alliance with one or more persons who will encourage one to follow through with both plan and purpose. So, Lynn, you've already kind of talked about, okay, you had young friends that you partied with, young friends that you dreamed with, young friends that took you to the first level. But then you realize that there is more. Talk to us about how you developed that next set of group, next set of people, that next set of alliances, as the book calls them, friendly alliances that took you to the next level in life.
Well, I think what you have to do, and that probably came more, for me, it came more like with my schooling. So in college, I was around people who were very motivated to succeed, to do things with their life. And so that was a core group for me at that point in time. As I went on to law school, same thing. People who were very motivated to get through law school, those that wanted to really be successful. But also I sought out mentors, people who are already out there doing it and so had already bridged that criticism. Some of them being the first in their families to be in law school or be lawyers, and I sought them out so that I could have them to look to as where I was trying to get to. They were that my final step in the goal of being a lawyer. They were already doing that, so I could look to them and say, okay, they could do it, I can do it too. And they kept me motivated to reach that same level. Now, after I got out of school and started working, I surrounded myself and I looked to people who had a like mind, people who were professionals in different fields that were dreamers somewhat and wanted to have their own businesses, did not think that they should be working for someone all their life. So they kind of encouraged me, and I surrounded myself with them, talked to them, things of that nature. Now, you have to remember, up until the time I came to West Palm Beach, Florida, I had never heard of Napoleon Hill and Think and Grow Rich. So I didn't even know the stuff that I now know. But then when I met people, actually through my church, people like Ann McNeil, who was very much into Think and Grow Rich at that time, who introduced me to that. And that really taught me. I never heard the word mastermind groups. I didn't even know what that was and how you do it. But once I learned that, I really learned that you really have to surround yourself with like-minded people and that they will keep you accountable. because that's the real thing that your mastermind group is going to do for you. It's going to hold you accountable to what you said you were going to do. So having someone else, because, you know, we can easily slack off if we don't have anyone else there saying, hey, didn't you say you were going to write that book? Didn't you say you were going to do this? Didn't you say you're going to open your own business? Well, what's happening with that? How you coming with that? What steps are you taking today to reach that goal? So that's what I started to do and each step of the way, it got a little more intense and a little more focused on making sure I was around that type of person.
Now, let's talk about, your career is one thing. Your career is one thing. It's your right. It's mentors. It makes it very clear. But talk to us about the unknown, something that is abrupt, something that throws you for a loop, something that knocks the wind out of you, like the significant health storm that you went through. I'm using the words that you use in terms of driving through a storm, but this was driving through a health storm. Jade is young. She doesn't know about being sick. She can overcome anything at this point. We have a special on the phone who's 18. Special doesn't know anything about being sick. She's 18. She thinks she thinks right now that she has no end. She'll live forever. But we all go through that special storm, one that we don't see coming. So at what point did you come to the next level of knowing your other self? You learned your other self young, but this is the next level of the other self. Talk to us about how you overcame and how you developed overdrive into persistence to overcome fear, to overcome discouragement, to overcome the oh, poor me, the indifference, the thing.
Well, Sharon, I'm going to tell you, I think that when you go through what I went through, you know, I always tell people that each storm that you're able to survive and drive through better prepares you for the next. And I remember people used to always tell me when I was going through something, they say, oh, God's just making you stronger. And I used to wonder, for what? What do I have to be this strong for? What is coming down the pipe? And so when I got sick after being just a month on my new job, and the doctor told me that I was going to have brain surgery. Well, first of all, I'm the youngest of three girls. There's four children in the family, three are girls, one is a boy. My two sisters had already had brain surgery for different reasons, one for an aneurysm and one for a brain tumor. So here I am, the third one, going through brain surgery. And one of the things that helped me in gaining that persistence was knowing they had survived. So I just did not believe that God was going to let me be the one, because, you know, I always think he think more of me than he think of them anyway. So I was like, well, I know that's not going to happen to me. So, but when I woke up and could not move, that was a shock. That was really a shock for me. That was something I would have never anticipated having to deal with. But I knew I had to deal with it. I knew if I ever wanted to walk again, I had to deal with it, that nobody else was going to be able to do it but me. And let me tell you just a quick story about that. My friends would come to rehab and watch me. And one day I saw a gentleman doing something on the mat that my therapist never asked me to do before. So I commented on how I wanted to do that and why she never asked me to do that, and I thought I could do that. And so she said, well, let's try. And she made me get up on all hands, all fours. Took me a while. But once I got up, she said, now crawl. And as I started to crawl, I landed flat on my face. My sister laughed at me. My very good friend who was in the room burst out laughing. My therapist laughed at me. I don't like people to laugh at me. that was so much motivation that night when I got back in my room, in my hospital bed, I practiced and practiced and practiced until I could get up on all fours and start to crawl in that little bitty bed so that the next time I had an opportunity to, I could show them that I was able to do it. But that goes back to that I'll show you attitude that you have to develop when you're going through and when people are criticizing you and telling you what you can't do. You know, one or two things happens to people when people tell them that they can't do something. One, they either succumb to that and believe it and so don't even try to do it, or they use that as their motivation to do it anyway. I'm the kind of person, I'm going to use that as my motivation. So that's how I got through that. It's really just saying, no, this is not going to be the end. I'm going to work hard at this. And if it is the end, it'd be because I didn't work hard and I didn't try to do it.
Excellent. Excellent.
Jada, I'm going to go back to you for just a second. Lynn just expressed something that, while in the back of her mind, she knew there was a possibility. You know, there are situations in her family that says that, you know, two of her sisters had already had brain surgery. But we always say, not me. I'd like for you to, because you're, well, I always think you're young. Shoot, I didn't realize that I was middle-aged until I was already 60. So, the deal is this, Jada. I'd like for you to kind of address that. How did you, talk to me about how you reflect on what Lynn just said.
You know, I'm just like Lynn with the same spirit. I don't like people to laugh at me, and I've always worked hard and had that strong willpower from a little girl. Sometimes it may come across as a child being stubborn, but I just use whatever that laughter or that doubt that's been put in my way or that little seed that's been planted. I'm just like Lynn. I use it as motivation, and I keep going. An example would be, you know, in corporate America, I was top-notch being a business development manager, and, you know, people looked at that and, oh, man, you're so good, da-da-da-da. But when they would reach out to me with their ideas, I would say, hey, I get paid for this. You have to respect my talent, and you have to respect my work ethic. Then I you know, got different looks. And the especially when I said, I'm starting my own business in this. So I just use everything to just, you know, keep me being persistent and motivated. And whatever negative energy comes my way, you know, I just turn around and pick out the positive in it. Because it may come across negative, but if you actually sit and listen, you can turn that into a positive. And my way is to turn it into, just as Lynn said, as a motivator. I would be doing the same thing. I could just imagine, you know. I have actually a family member that kind of sort of went through some medical issues as Lynn did, and I'm really hard on that person, but at the same time, I stay compassionate because I know and understand her personality and where she's come from and where she's going to, because you can't expect to be able to overcome medical issues or situations, you know, overnight. But if you keep that faith and that persistence and that desire in yourself, you can achieve anything, especially when you're walking by faith.
Right. Let me just add in something, though, Sharon, because I don't want our audience to think that I'm this superhuman person, that nothing has ever kind of gotten me down, because I can tell you when I lost my job, my first job as an attorney at 26 years old with no money in the bank and nothing to look forward to as far as that immediately, that's what I thought, I started to go into a little depression. I started, you know, to think that maybe this wasn't going to work out the way I had hoped. But that goes back to who has your ear? Who are you talking to? I happened to have a very good friend at that time who, when I called her depressed, she said to me, how many black female lawyers are, no, she said, okay, how many lawyers are there, black lawyers are there in Florida? I said, oh, there's a lot. How many of them are female? Okay, the number's small. And how many of them lost three parents before the age of 18? And how many this had this happened to them? And by the time she, you know, got to that point, I had to say to myself, you know, you have overcome a lot. So why are you all upset about this little storm? You can, if you got through all of that to reach the level you are now, you can do this. Because it's not only important about the criticism that comes from other people outside you, it's about the criticism that you give to yourself, too. You have to manage that also, because we do a lot of self that is negative sometimes. So you have to push the pause on the negative self-talk and start talking to yourself positively and start talking about what you can do. Because if you listen even to yourself sometimes, it's going to create doubt in you on your abilities to overcome and your abilities to keep going. Because that's why they say so many people give up when they're so close to success. Mm-hmm. It's because that self-talk and that self-doubt that comes in, more so than the criticism from others.
Let me ask you the question. Is this when you started practicing your affirmation and the post-it notes?
Soon after that. You know, you say that, it's kind of funny because my sister asked me, when did I develop the philosophy of driving through the storm? And I told her, I think it was right after I lost my first job as a lawyer. And her response was, okay, I can agree with that. She said, because I remember when we were driving you to Miami and it started raining, you were driving and you kind of pulled over and asked me to take the wheel because you didn't like driving in the rain. So even my actual actions changed, just not only my philosophy. Because initially I didn't like driving in rain. But now, you know, a storm coming, I take it easy, but it's kind of, you know, my philosophy developed, my actions changed too.
Lynn, you live in South Florida. It's raining all the time, storming all the time.
I know
it is. Never be on the road. Wouldn't get anywhere. Now, the book says every failure brings with it the seed of an equivalent success. So every time you came with a failure, and this is something that I really want Special and I really want Jada to hear. We have approximately 4 minutes left in the program, okay?
Okay.
So I want you to talk to us about the fact that every failure brings with it a seed of equivalent success. You've already told us about, you know, the potential of the
mm-hmm.
what you had to go through because you were young and you were hopeful and you had the invincible part of, I'm young and I'm smart. Shoot, I came from Brandeis. I graduated from University of Miami. That's no small feat.
Right.
So talk to us about that. You already kind of talked to us about that first failure. But then driving through that first failure and coming through with the seed of an equivalent success.
Yes. You know, that first failure took me back to Cleveland. I had to live through that shame. But once I learned, first of all, I had to forgive myself. I had to apologize to myself for allowing myself to be in that situation. And once I was able to do that, I was able to let that go and move forward. Moving forward, I actually had to get the strength and the courage to go out and pursue things and not worry about what the people were going to say something if they knew what I had gone through. about losing the job, being suspended from the Florida bar. I had to kind of put that in the back of my mind and try to succeed. So once it started happening, Public Defender's Office led to the city of West Palm Beach, where I actually ran into Janet Reno, who was the boss, my boss at the time. I lost my job. Her encouragement, and you just keep going. Because, you know, every time you fail, it's not the end of the world. There's a lesson usually to be learned in that failure. And you have to learn that lesson, and then there's always a blessing. Because that failure took me out of Miami and put me in West Palm Beach, where all these other opportunities opened up to me that I probably wouldn't be doing if I had stayed in Miami. So that's what I look at as the success, and that was the blessing that came out of it that eventually led me back down to the Miami area to practice law, but in a very different area and with a much different perspective on life.
Very good.
I hope that answers your question.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jada, did you want to follow up with a question?
Yes, I did. More so a question and a comment. I wanted to say I really, really love the fact that Lynn spoke about her Post-it notes. You may have heard me say on the show prior that I started doing Post-it notes about 2.5 years ago of just different things, different goals, just different. It could have been simple, make sure keep your smile, you know, throughout your day, little things like that. And I wanted to say that you just made me feel more empowered in that I was going about doing the right things. Because at that time, 2.5 years ago, I was embarking, or actually it was about 4 years ago when I had my first child, I felt like I was just getting pulled away and into the mommy and parent world and family life and with the husband. And sometimes as young married people or young people starting a family, you get a little lost and you feel like, I felt like at the time I was losing myself. So I was just writing Post-it notes just to remind me of my goals I have set outside of being a mom and a wife. And I just wanted to say that you just reiterated that, and to all the listeners out there, it's never too early or too late to start writing it down. And then don't be afraid, because my husband, when he would come home or come in, I would take them down or I would move it off of the bathroom mirror, you know, things like that. And this is my husband. But I still had that fear of him thinking that I'm crazy, or did I marry a weirdo, or what's she going through, or anything like that. So one day he asked me, why you took your little smile sign down? And I'm like, what are you talking about? I didn't think he noticed. You know? And then by the end of the week, I eased them on back up there, and then it was about 50 of them, and he was like, gosh, you've been hiding all of these. Like, where do you put that? And I was like, yeah, I've run through Post-it notepads. So I just wanted to say thank you, Lynn, for bringing that up again, and that for our listeners, do whatever you need to do to make sure you are staying true and have that laser beam focus and being persistent on your goals. Even if you're 60 or 70 and you haven't did it before, do it now. And we guarantee you that you will smile, or you will feel some type of peace on the inside of you.
Yes. I don't know. If we have time, I just want to follow up on that, Jada, especially for the olders. You know, I'm 61 now, going on, I'll be 62 in January, and when I started thinking about doing this public speaking business, at first I was like, well, you know, I'm 61, can I really do this? It's just too late. You know, everybody's talking about how long it takes to really get out there and stuff. So I had a little doubt, but then I said, but you know what? You know that this is what God has called you to do. And so I have an obligatory duty on the gift he has given me. I got that from my preacher, Ashley, last week, y'all. So obligatory duty, because he's gifted me with this to be able to talk to people and encourage people and to help steer them to have a different attitude when they're going through the storm. So I am even though I'm 61, I'm looking forward to it, really. And it's not too late. It's never too late. As long as you've got breath in your body, it's never too late to pursue your goals and your dreams.
Yes, ma'am.
Very good. Very good. And with that, we're going to end the show. The book says persistence creates faith. From faith comes power, and power is essential for the success and accumulation of money, accumulation of success, and accumulation with the blessing and driving force, driving through the storms that we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks. We want to thank Dee Lynn Whitfield for sharing her story, for sharing her book, for sharing her heart with mentoring, not only to me, but mentoring to our young people that are just starting out. So we want to say very much thank you, Lynn. I want to thank Jada Williams, who has been a wonderful host. Now, next week, come and join us again. We're on every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. talking about Think and Grow Rich. We'll go on to a commercial, and we'll see you next week.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.